If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
NFC preseason takeaways. Discussing things like, can Jalen Hurts be the QB1? Before we do, we want to make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, TikTok, and IG for that daily content. We also have the flagship, Razzball.com. Not only do we do football, we have basketball, hockey, and of course, baseball. But now it's Razzball. It's fantasy football season, folks. Make sure you're joining Razzball.com. Not only do we have articles dropping every day, we have fantastic tools, the ADP pricing tool. We have, you know, team name generator. We have it all, what you need to win your fantasy leagues, rankings and projections and more. But before we get into all that, let's discuss today's episode. We're going to be doing the NFC takeaways from week one preseason, starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. All right, folks, bringing in my co-host for today. It's Sky Gawasco. You can follow him at Sky Gawasco on Twitter. What's up, Sky?
Happy to be back, Bob. Another great week. Everybody's played at least a game of kind of real football. Some of our studs are out there. Most of them are not. We're getting a gauge finally, bro. It's around the corner. I'm stoked.
Yeah, man. Obviously, some of the biggest takeaways are going to be key. Today, we're going to be focusing on the NFC. And really, to be honest with you, there are so many takeaways. In some cases, I want to just preface this with this. It's only week one of preseason. We don't need to completely overreact just from these takeaways. Yes, we do think these are important, but there's still week two and week three that we're going to have to evaluate these players and situations. Also, just because some guys didn't play might be a good thing in some cases, which we'll discuss later. At some point, some of the team's starting lineups didn't play. What does that mean for some of the guys that did play, like Treylon Burks? But that's on the AFC show. But today's show, we're doing the NFC, Sky. And one of the teams you wanted to talk about right away was the Atlanta Falcons. So we have a couple topics about the Falcons. There's a couple things with the Marcus Mariota drive that we want to discuss. Talk to us a little bit about those and what your feedback is on what Mariota, how he looked and how the first team offense looked.
Mariota looked great. And it was, you know, DT and I just did the quarterback show last time I was on here, and we went to the top 12 and we didn't talk about number 13. And 13 for me is Marcus Mariota. And it's felt crazy because we hadn't seen Marcus in a couple years, but I believe in this guy forever. I'm a Duck, right? I'm very biased to Marcus Mariota and Justin Herbert, seeing them here at Oregon. But the kid's legit. He had a bunch of injuries stack up for him in Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill came in, took over, yada, yada. He gets released. He's on the Raiders. He does great in one game for Derek Carr. They get rid of him again, and he goes to Atlanta. A lot of buzz preseason. I'm hyped on it. We see it in game day in a short series, man. But he ran for the pylon. Dove head first, mind you, Bob. Not recommended in preseason. However, dude's a gamer. Went for it. Scored the touchdown. Falcons look good on the opening drive. Tyler Allgeier, you know, the rookie that we're all kind of hyped on to become that number one guy, starts, you know, behind the squad of Caldre Allison, but he's had his opportunity. He did look good, but I don't see him being the number one. Damian Williams, also a journeyman. I don't see him holding off. And Cordarrelle Patterson basically did not play running back in this game. So I do think Allgeier has an opportunity to be that number one. But look, man, Marcus looked good, and we know the rushing quarterback has a cheat code. For me, he's QB 13. I think I'm ahead of the curve, but I think that ADP for him is going to increase quickly over the preseason.
I agree. This guy has already produced, you know, a borderline QB1 season. His actual high was QB 13 way back in 2016. But he does offer you that borderline QB1 because of the high rushing floor that he offers. Now, I think the best part about Mariota is that he knows Arthur Smith's scheme already. It's not like he's coming to this team not knowing what's going on and learning a brand new offense. He knows the offense. This is what he basically grew up in, essentially, in Tennessee. So I think that really benefits him as well. And the weapons. Listen, Kyle Pitts is going to be a stud. I think a lot of people are underestimating. We all loved Kyle Pitts as like the only rookie that anybody would ever draft as a tight end. And he delivers a 1,000-yard season, and we're not treating him like he wasn't an outlier last year, even though he was, just because the touchdowns weren't there. Drake London, he got hurt in this game, but it sounds minor. And then Cardale Hodge seemed to be the next guy that really connected with Mariota. So there's a little something there, but I think it's the legs, folks. When he scrambled in, got that touchdown, you know, I think that offers a Kyan QB2 number, so I agree. On the Algier front, Cordell Patterson, they're handling with kid gloves. He actually went in the game twice, but one of the plays got called back because of a penalty. Doesn't even go, and then he's off the field. It was super weird. Like, they put him on the field, and then they took him right off. And, like, they didn't even run a play. It's like, why would you put him on the field? I just think the Tyler Algier being behind the two veterans actually gives me more confidence in Cordell Patterson because I'm actually not concerned about the other two backs. And if Algier can't pass up those guys, I think Cordell Patterson is going to be the guy again. So I personally think that he's someone I'll keep watching. Algier is currently going ADP 138. So that's something we should probably pump the brakes on just a little bit until he proves a little bit more, maybe later in the preseason. Let's jump down to the Philadelphia Eagles, Sky. Tell us what you got on the Eagles and what you were excited to see in preseason.
I mean, there's, you know, it's silly for me to say that, you know, I was early on the Hurts hype train because now it's out of control, obviously. But last year, I thought I was a little bit higher on him than most other people. Over the first seven games, he was dominant, and then they went run heavy after the fact, and that cut down a little bit, right? This year, though, man, on that first opening drive, first of all, it took a late hit out of bounds. You know, and his head coach, you know, was about to throw bows. I like to see that. His offensive line came to his defense too. Cheap shot for Jacksonville. I thought that was chicken shit. Nonetheless, Jalen Hurts looked like a stud, right? He's only progressed in high school, college, and the NFL each season. He gets a full season now as the definite starter. A.J. Brown was out there, the toss to Dallas Goedert for the touchdown. He can obviously run as well. Your boy Miles Sanders did look good. I'll give you that. Played on three downs. I like to see that, of course. A little bit of red zone work. And look, man, auxiliary players now are starting to get opportunity because this offense is opening up. Guys like Quez Watkins, right? A third stringer, potentially, kind of a deeper guy, maybe in dynasty leagues or in deeper rosters behind Brown and Smith and Goddard. So good opportunity. But man, Jalen Hurts was already my number five coming into preseason. I can't put him ahead of Herbert, Allen, Lamar, and Mahomes, but I really want to. If Bob, I'll put you on the spot just because. If you were to take one of those guys out of the top four and put Hurts in it, if you're me, whether you're ranking that way or not, which of those top four, Herbert, Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Mahomes, would you take out of the top four to put Hurts in? Because he is bubbling on my five plus on that four range there. I just don't know who I would actually take out.
I have him at four.
Oh, my goodness, my man.
I actually have him over Lamar.
Over Lamar, okay.
Yeah, so okay. I think
Lamar, there's a huge bounce back for Lamar this year, but I hear you.
I agree. I think the problem is I'm actually into Lamar as well. I have him in my top six as well. I just, you know, I'm between Hurts, Murray, and Lamar. Lamar lost his top receiver. I know Rashad Bateman's supposed to be stepping in, but that offense is going to be scaled back. I don't see them throwing as much as they did. They're going to try to lean on the run game a little bit more, but the offensive line has got through some movement as well for the Ravens, and their running backs are banked up. So, like, you know, if the running game is not efficient, J.K. Dobbins has hit the ground running, and Gus Edwards takes a little time, they might lean on Lamar. But at the same time, Hurts offers just as good rushing upside. He showed it last year, like, you know, insane rushing stats last year when he really didn't have the receiver. He had a rookie receiver as his one, and now he's got A.J. Brown. And I think a healthy Dallas Goedert, that's why he's my number four. I made the thumbnail, Sky. All right.
I know you did. I was hyped on that. And DT and I just covered quarterbacks again. Last episode, DT and I covered quarterbacks, and we were talking about Jalen Hurts. I was like, man, I got him at number five. Feels kind of sticky. And now all of a sudden everybody's about it after this game. But look, man, if he doesn't play one more snap in the preseason, which he probably will, but if he doesn't, he's still in my top five. And I'm very, very excited to look at him as probably my earliest mid-round quarterback, unless he moves into like the fourth round. I think that's a little steep, but if he's like sixth, seventh, eighth round, I'm taking him over those like Brady's and Burrow, you know, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, those kind of guys. I'm taking Jalen Hurts over all those guys.
So the Jalen Hurts thing, you don't have to tell me twice. I think the rushing, he's got the skill set at quarterback, but the thing that was more impressive about the game, he didn't even target A.J. Brown. And Devonta Smith was out. It was Quez Watkins and Dallas Goedert he used in the receiving game and Miles Sanders to get down the field. He hasn't even unleashed his best target, and his number two wasn't even in the game. So there's just so many weapons, and that's kind of what I wanted to bring up with Miles Sanders. I love the fact that he was in on it the first third down of the game, and he also was playing in the red zone, because that's what the noise has been all offseason. Oh, third down's going to be Kenny Gainwell. Red zone work might be Boston Scott. Seeing them use him in those situations and, you know, executing pretty well in those situations, what was the key? But the Quez Watkins things I wanted to just bring up, because it does make me a little bit worried about A.J. Brown and, to a more extent, Devonta Smith, because there's not a lot of just as much as I love Jalen Hurts, there's not going to be a lot of volume in this offense. And A.J. Brown is the most efficient guy in the world. He really is. And he's a stud. But he's going to have to – if Quez Watkins could do something like last year when we were all high on the Cowboys, but they all ended up canceling each other out because they all were so good. If Quez Watkins start demanding targets and A.J. Brown's not getting target share and volume pass offense, what's his real upside in the first year of this scheme? So for him. So it does – it just makes me decide maybe I'll take a Michael Pittman over A.J. Brown in that third round this year. But I'm still high on A.J. Brown. He's still in my top 36 players.
I think he'll be fine, man. You got to think again. This is his first couple snaps with the Eagles. I'm not going to say he was intentionally a decoy by any means, but in a first game, you know, run a few routes, be a decoy. He certainly was for the Dallas Goedert touchdown, or at least it worked out that way. Run a couple routes, whatever. These guys have a full, you know, offseason. The main thing for A.J. Brown right now, stay healthy. Get to know this offense. Stay healthy. Get us on the field. So I'm not worried. Zero red flags for the Eagles for me. Other than that late hit, but he bounced up, no problem. And Jalen Hurts is thick, dude. You know, he's not like Kyler. I think he could take a hit or two. He looked great, popped back, right back up, went down the field. Very excited about the Eagles this year.
Let's jump to the 49ers, Sky. I know you've been...
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Foaming out of the mouth to talk about your boys because they had a decent showing with Trey Lance win. By the way, nobody was in the game. No Kittle. No Wilson, no Mitchell. So that's something we have to take this all with a grain of salt. But tell us what you thought about Trey Lance at least and maybe the offensive outlook as a whole.
100%. So Trey Lance is as advertised. Again, like Jalen Hurts, man. It's like we did have some NFL, you know, work last year with Jalen Hurts, obviously. Trey Lance came in for like six total quarters last year, filling in for Jimmy. But as advertised, right? As soon as they put Jimmy on the block for real, we knew that there was definitely 100% commitment to Lance. And Shanahan's pretty much said that since day one. And look, ran a little bit, threw some dimes. Look, Danny Gray, I was kind of like a deep sleeper on draft day when they got Danny Gray. I was like, dude, this guy's actually pretty good. This could work out as like a 3-4 in the offense. Now, none of the starters, as you mentioned, were in there. However, this, because it's Debo, because it's Ayuk, because it's Kittle, all of those guys dominant when they're on the field. Very efficient, super yards after catch. You know what else they all have in common, Bob? Unfortunately, they have trouble staying healthy. Yeah. So to see Danny Gray come in there as a rookie, and I know it's preseason and backups and all that, it doesn't matter because he's on that level too. So for him to play against light competition for himself and produce, little bit of a blown coverage, definitely a missed tackle, and then he burned to the house. Whatever. The point is he scored, and Trey Lance looked off the safety, found him open, made the play happen. Look, if he gets tackled on the three-yard line, are we this excited? Obviously not. But the fact is Trey Lance can throw it down the field. He has a decoy with his legs. He can run the ball, obviously. And you mentioned it, Mitchell not even in there, right? Jeff Wilson, Trey Sermon getting some work. I mean, it's like a lot of these guys aren't even going to play for the 49ers. They're like the Rams, right? The starter's not going to play. But it's good to see the backups come in. And Trey Lance playing with backups makes me more excited that he didn't even have his starting roster in there with him. So, again, just like A.J. Brown and Hurts, it's very important that Trey Lance just gets reps. He gets reps and reps and reps. I don't care if the Packers had fourth stringers in there. He's getting NFL reps, and he played well. Danny Gray scored, looked really good. So Trey Lance, I'm all in. He's also in my top 10. Danny Gray is – I'm having fun with it just because. But he's, you know, he's a deep, deep dynasty grab if you want to. Maybe a best ball stash. I took him at the end of our Razz Ball draft just because. But it's going to be Debo and Ayuk, of course, and Kittle. But if one of those guys go down – it gave me more faith that they have depth, which I didn't think they had last year at wide receiver, with Danny Gray, who can come in and now already has early rapport with Trey Lance, who also looked good.
Yeah, I think the Trey Lance situation, I don't care if it looks good. I know Kyle Shanahan had some comments about fantasy football and how, you know, there's things to clean up. For fantasy people, we don't give a shit if he completes 50% of his passes.
He looks fabulous.
As long as he runs the ball for 100 yards and throws for two touchdowns, we don't care.
Kyle, we're not stressing, Kyle. Take a breath, Kyle.
We understand football is different. Football execution is more important. Fantasy, sure. It's like, what are the results are more important? Like executing the ball and making sure things are going smooth. I totally get it. But Trey Lance offers you, I think his floor is like rookie year RG3 type stuff where you have the Shanahan scheme, how they used him. You know, that's like top 7 to 8 numbers. And then his upside, if everything clicks with the talent around him, is Patrick Mahomes in 2018. Like he has the talent around him and the skill set to explode, even like a Lamar Jackson, if you want to take a more mobile quarterback view on this and how he exploded in his second year. So Trey Lance to me is one of those guys that I have right after Lamar right after Lamar Jackson, you know, 7-8 range in my top 10 for quarterbacks. So I'm still pushing him up. I want him higher, but it's hard to get him over some of those guys. The other thing I wanted to bring up, though, is Jeff Wilson, because I know Trey Sermon looked good and got started getting some hype, but there's a reason why Jeff Wilson didn't play in the game is because he's viewed as a starter already behind Elijah Mitchell, like a 1B. He's the passing down back. He's going to probably be the guy in pass pro. And my thing is he'll probably be next man up. He's proven to be legit in this offense when he gets his chances. So I think a lot of people are excited about Trey Sermon and how he looked in this game. But my personal preference is to take Jeff Wilson later in rounds because I think he's a direct handcuff for Elijah Mitchell and also could offer – I don't think he offers standalone value, but because of that pass-catching role, I think he does offer some value, even if it's on a standalone basis.
I'm glad you brought up Jeff Wilson, dude. Jeff Wilson's been on the team the longest in the running back room, right? So he was the handcuff to Carlos Hyde. He was the handcuff to Raheem Mostert. He was the handcuff to Elijah Mitchell, right? He has been in that locker room the longest in the running back room, outside of Juszczyk, who is tough for fantasy, but also obviously a part of the team there in the backfield. But Jeff Wilson, A, is a great clubhouse guy. Nothing but good reports from him always in San Francisco. But also, he is a great number two, and he has always stepped up for 100-yard games, multiple touchdown games on 2-3 opportunities per year when guys get injured. So I've been repping Jeff Wilson on TCK for years. And again, I'm a 49er fan. I know these like deep dive guys that you're not supposed to know in fantasy, so it's fine if you don't know. But Jeff Wilson is a great handcuff nobody talks about ever, and nobody's going to draft because of Trey Sermon. Let's not forget last year, Trey Sermon fumbled his first carry, got a concussion, basically wasn't the same the whole season. I hope he bounces back. Good, you know, third-round pick or whatever. But Elijah Mitchell was a sixth-round pick last year for the 49ers, and he was the starter. Let's also not forget, we like to throw this one around too, Bob and I. 6 years in a row, the 49ers have had a different number one running back for fantasy football. 6 years in a row, not going well for Elijah Mitchell. Hopefully it does, but a guy like Jeff Wilson could pop up. So when you're in your 13th, 14th, 15th round and you're looking at scrubs anyway, take a high upside handcuff nobody else is looking at. May take a stab on Jeff Wilson. He might only give you, you know, a handful of carries this year, but he's going to score on half of those.
Yeah, I agree. I just – you know, my biggest thing with the whole situation with Elijah Mitchell is that he was the first guy in a long time since Carlos Hyde to get 200 carries in a season. And he only played like 11 games. So
he's
definitely,
he's easily the one. I'm not saying
but he can't. Yeah.
I'm not saying Jeff Wilson's going to supplant, you know, at all. I'm just saying in a handcuff situation, if you're looking at another running back or you have Mitchell, I would go Jeff Wilson over Sermon, as you had 100%. Mentioned.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some quick slants. There's a bunch of them. I'm going to list all of them. And then you're going to just pick one, Sky, to end the show on. Baker Mayfield. So first of all, let's talk about Baker Mayfield, his first action. There was no DJ Moore or CMC in this game. That is a huge caveat, by the way. Those are like the two most important guys. So he was out there without those main guys, but he did show some really good chemistry with some of the backups like Shea Smith over the middle of the field, but there's still timing issues. There's back shoulder throw that wasn't even close, but he did show solid in the middle of the field accuracy. So I think there is a lot of upset, but he also challenged the defenses vertically, which I think is going to open things up for CMC and DJ Moore underneath a little bit more. For the Lions, the biggest takeaway I think for them was that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be legit. I know TJ Hockenson and Jameson Williams were not in the game, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff targets the middle of the field more than any quarterback over the last 5-6 seasons. Mm-hmm. It's like 75% of his targets attempts are in the middle of the field. And that's where Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to make a living. All his passing routes are crossers. If you watch it, and that's where Jared Goff loves throwing it, I think this kid's going to be awesome. I honestly consider him at the 4-5 turn. I think he's going to be great this year. DeAndre Swift, yes, they mixed in Jameson Williams, but don't worry about it. He got two carries in the middle of the 20. As soon as they got close to the red zone, Swift comes in, and sure enough, the guy scores a touchdown. I think he's a smash in the first round, in my opinion. Jumping down to the Giants, talking about Saquon Barkley, 3-down back roll. I mean, he played on all 3 downs and also plays in the red zone. I talked about this as one of my takeaways on TikTok was the fact that you don't find these guys a lot in fantasy football. And I think Barkley could start being considered. I understand the injury histories, but Brian Daboll has produced Madden cover seasons from Peyton Hillis. Jamal Charles and Reggie Bush had their career-high rushing yards with Brian Daboll. So I understand Devin Singletary didn't surprise anybody, but trust me, this guy knows how to run the football, and I love Saquon Barkley. The other one was Daniel Jones, kind of struggled a little bit with accuracy. He did not look great throwing the ball deep, wasn't even close. And that really is going to impact the rest of the guys, Tony, Galladay, you know, even Wandell Robinson, maybe even a Sterling Shepard, the tight ends. I think that Daniel Jones is going to be a fantasy asset because of his legs, not necessarily his arm, but we'll see how it progresses over the next few weeks. And I think Kenny Galladay breaks my heart to say this over my shoulder, but he just doesn't look right. Something's off with him. He is not comfortable. He dropped the pass in the red zone. So there's another thing there. Jumping down to the Commanders, Antonio Gibson fumbled, and then Brian Robinson comes in. He looks strong, and he converted a goal line carry. Now, Antonio Gibson ended up coming back in to play with the twos. I'm a little concerned about Antonio Gibson, in my opinion. I think the problem with the D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart comparison is because they didn't have a J.D. McKissick. So J.D. McKissick's also going to be involved on third down. So if he's going to start, maybe if he goes 70-30 with Robinson and no passing game work, doesn't sound like a great back for fantasy with a Carson Wentz-led offense. So a little worried there. Curtis Samuel looked healthy. They used him a lot in motion. Played in the slot. Why is that important? Because when he was in Carolina, he actually played on the outside mostly with that staff, and he actually threw a lot of vertical routes. Remember the unrealized air yard stat you love to throw around? He was the king of that year with Kyle Allen. So I think that he's playing in the slot is actually great because Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin on the outside. So I think Curtis Samuel's someone that, might be peeking some deeper name in PPR. Just thought that was interesting as well. Wentz threw a lot to his tight ends, and there was no Logan Thomas and John Bates, but I think Logan Thomas, in my opinion, is someone to keep an eye on right around October, November range. If you're someone who's streaming tight ends and you start seeing him get back on the field, he loves his tight ends. Listen, we know about Zach Ertz for years. He was an absolute stud. So there's something there for like second half Logan Thomas.
Even your boy Mo Ali Cox last year in Indy.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, right? But the problem with the Indianapolis Colts, they literally used 3 guys, and, like, none of them – they all scored, like, 5 points per game, which is good in the end.
But the tight end position was a focal point of Wentz's looks. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, 100%. The Bears, listen, no Montgomery, Cole Kmet, Velus Jones did not play in this game. The offensive line is bad as advertised, by the way. It did not look good. Darnell Mooney played a lot in the slot, and I like to see that. They are actually, that's what they used to do with Allen Robinson. I know this is a new coaching staff, but they also used Davante Adams in that Bears scheme, in that Packers scheme, about 40% in the slot. And if they're moving Darnell and Mooney inside, that's good news for his value. But also, he made a big play out of the slot. He actually ran a nice vertical route on the outside out of the slot. And I think he's going to be solid. He's probably the only valuable player. Justin Fields, I think the key for him is that he's going to be erratic. But I think at the same time, he made some really impressive throws, but he also utilizes his legs. So you might like Mariota at 13. My top QB2 this season is Justin Fields.
I love it. Justin Fields. I'll give you that.
I think he's going to be a poor man's Trey Lance because of the fact that he's going to be extra erratic on a worse offense, but he's got those legs, baby, and I think he's going to run for days. My last takeaway. All right, the Seahawks. I don't understand why they played Geno Smith as with the ones, but they didn't play DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. I don't understand why. What chemistry is Geno Smith getting in game action without those guys? But they did not play, and neither did Rashad Penny. Penny because of an injury. Kenneth Walker does look strong. This guy's a chain mover. I think Kenneth Walker is going to be the guy that if you need to get 3 to 5 yards, he's going to be solid. I think Rashad Penny's your home run hitter. But he looked good in the first preseason game, constantly making solid chunk gains. But I think that's worth noting and watching to see if once Penny gets back, well, how does those split look in the third preseason game? Because I think Kenneth Walker could be something special. Out of all those, Sky, anything else you could think of, or is there any one of those that stands out before we close the show?
I love it, man. I'm going to touch quickly on three of those. We'll start with the Giants. We'll start with your Giants. Saquon Barkley does look great. I was off Saquon Barkley last year in the first round. And I was also off Jonathan Taylor. So you can take that however you'd like to because the injury ahead of time and to Nelson as well and Wentz, whatever. But Saquon Barkley was off last year, faded. I was happy about it. This year I'm back on. He looks great. I'm all about Saquon Barkley. He's in my top 10 once again, and that feels awesome, especially if you can get him at a discount. Antonio Gibson, another running back. I am out completely, Bob, on Antonio Gibson. Love the kid and what he's supposed to be. I love the prospect. I love the fact that he was a wide receiver in college. Now he's in the NFL. Fumbles in the NFL will get you fired and on the bench immediately. He did it again. He put it on the ground last year, put it on the ground again in the preseason. Pulled, as you mentioned, Brian Robinson was drafted in the fourth round, which is not impressive. But if he gets the opportunity, he will be that number one. Gibson might be a third down back, fighting for chances with McKissick again. Either way, Antonio Gibson still is like a top 24 ADP. I'm sure that's going to fall, but right now I am definitely out on Antonio Gibson. Brian Robinson's a nice late round stash, maybe a dynasty grab. And then finally, just a quick shout out to my boy Darnell Mooney, who I've been high on all offseason, but he mossed that dude on that grab. Super big fan of him. But I want to finish with the Seahawks. Kenneth Walker reminds me of who Chris Carson was to Marshawn Lynch when he was coming up. Kenneth Walker now is that to Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny also back on the injury report. That's the only thing we're concerned about with Rashad Penny. Last year, he was the number one running back down the stretch, but he was healthy. He can't stay healthy, unfortunately. Second round pick, serious talent, but he can't stay healthy. Kenneth Walker, I think, is going to be what Chris Carson was at the end of Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. He will take over the second half of the season, at least maybe before then. Kenneth Walker is the running back I want in Seattle, not Rashad Penny.
Yep, that's all we got for today, folks. Once again, this is the NFL preseason takeaways from the NFC edition from week one. Once again, make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you're going to Razzball.com, folks. We got ADP tools. We got rankings. We got articles. We got crazy stuff going on at Razzball.com. So go check us out once again. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. That man over there is Sky Gawasco. You can follow him at Sky Gawasco on Twitter and myself at Bobby LaMarco. Thank you for joining. We are out of here.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.